This is a production of Cornell University.
Mariah Adege?
Here.
Joseph Anderson?
Here.
Morgan Baker?
Excuse.
Colin Benedict?
He's here, I just saw him.
Yeah, he is here. He might have just gone to the bathroom.
Aaron McCass?
Here.
Uchenna Chukwukere?
Here.
John Clancy?
Here.
Osai Garba?
Unexcused.
Jacob Fight.
Excused.
Masa Haddad.
Here.
Catherine Wong.
Here.
Julian Kroll.
Here.
Yifan Lee.
Here.
Gavin Martin.
Here.
Nick Matulka.
Here.
Liam Ordonez.
Excused.
Indigo Pavlov.
Here.
Tomas Rayuni?
He's on his way.
Lucas Smith?
Here.
Felina Soloveva?
Here.
Sarah Sun?
Here.
Noah Watson?
Here.
Brian Weintraub?
Excuse.
Carabel Wondimu? Celine Xu?
Here.
Valentina Xu?
Excuse.
Jacob Youngblood?
Here.
Yuhan Yuan?
Here.
Wait, where's fun?
Wonderful. We're going to announcements. There were no announcements sent to CAD. If anyone has an ad hoc announcement, Gavin.
Yeah, so VP of OR, but now, as of now, VP of RA will be voted on next semester. I apologize. I didn't have it in my time to do the edits for this semester because my academics.
No, it's
true.
Okay, so
I'm
Okay. We're going to open microphone.
We're having an open microphone. If you have any members of the community who wish to speak, please come here. We're going to close the microphone.
Wonderful. We'll move on to violence reports, Mariah.
All right. So we did our last three byline reports yesterday. The first was FARC. They are a committee of the Student Assembly. Up until 2009, they were a byline funded org. And Ian was just telling me today, during the recession, they decided to get off of bylines, and then they're now, and they had an endowment that was sustaining them up until this point, and they're now requesting to get back on byline. So they were requesting $5, two of which would be going to Students Helping Students, which is a fund that we, as the assembly, run to help expenses that students might have that weren't foreseen. So, for example, if you had to, like, there was maybe some sort of crisis in your family and you had to quickly go home, like, the next day, they could help pay for your flight and things like that, kind of extenuating circumstances. And so $2 of their $5 are going to that, and then the other three are going to the Summer Experience Grant, which helps provide lodging, transportation, food for people who are taking unpaid summer experiences. It's kind of great work that the assembly does. Summer Experience Grant is also like a partnership with each individual college, so the colleges also like help to fund that program as well, the grant as well. The vote was unanimous. There wasn't too much discussion on this one. So if anybody has questions or comments.
Is there a motion to approve? Second. It's been a second. Okay. All in favor of giving the financial aid of $5, please raise your hands. All opposed? All abstained? By a vote 20 to 0 to 1. That's about 20. Looks like it's plus 2. Is that everyone? Thank you. Move on to student assembly.
So the next is us. We're requesting $4. We're currently at 87 cents. This would be mostly to continue funding a more robust special projects fund. That was actually really it. Our operating budget is about $18,000 per year to just run the assembly itself. And then the additional money that I was requesting was just so that way we can continue funding special projects at a larger scale. Historically, we had $10,000 or $15,000 in special projects, but with the $4, we can actually have about $35,000 to $40,000, which means more money for students on our campus and more events that can be held. There was some conversation, which is why the vote was split like that, about whether or not we need to have that much money in special projects. Ultimately, we did, vote, pass the $4, but that was kind of just to explain the split. That's kind of just that.
Questions or comments from Mariah? Motion to approve. It's been a motion approved. Stay a second. Second. Okay, all in favor of giving the student assembly $4. Record. All opposed. And all abstaining. 5-0, 20-0 to 1. The student assembly is giving $4. Next, SAFC.
So SAFC, as many of you know, is a funding commission that funds about a little over 550 organizations on campus. They are going through some restructuring and working on some new initiatives to bridge the gap between the amount of money that they request, that gets requested of them, and the amount of money that they actually had. So with the $98 per student per year, they had about $1.4-ish million, but they were getting about $2.3-ish million in requests. And so there was a pretty sizable gap of about $1 million. Through their restructuring, they're trying to lessen that gap, because obviously that's $1 million worth of students who want to have money and they can't have that money. The $61 increase that we gave them is to try and help bridge that gap more and kind of close those holes. It is a sizable jump. As you can see, this one was also unanimous. Vijay, the Dean of Students, was talking about how this isn't just a knee-jerk reaction to a problem. This is something systemically that we're trying to fix and address. That's kind of just that. There also wasn't, that's just that.
Motion approves their second, so I guess in a second. Let's do it. All in favor of giving SAFC $159, please raise your hand if factor. All opposed. All abstaining. By a vote of 20-0-1, SAFC has been given $159. We'll be moving on to resolution 19. Yeah.
So I missed the sprint meeting, but what can someone cover for everyone else who wasn't there also kind of what the decision was in terms of where this was heading?
I think where we got that was one main point that really stuck was the comments, the commenting procedure. We wanted to have the appeals process or not, because it was people, including myself, didn't think that it was right to only have those three people decide who people can, or what people can and can't say. And I think if you have a president and executive vice president or and parliamentarian who doesn't like an individual or or is really, really pushing an individual, and there's negative, there might be a comment about an individual that they don't like, then they can just censor that comment. But other people, also in the process was making this entire thing more complicated than it was. So that was one main point.
Okay. John.
Yeah, there's definitely some counters to those positions as well. So I think that those are the main points of contention.
Okay. To straw poll, so if expanding the amount of people who are reviewing this to the whole entire board, would that start to resolve, or should we just work on implementing an appeals process? So hands up for expanding, and then keep them down if you want to work on appeals.
What would appeals look like?
So we can, I guess, that's what we're
discussing.
Yeah. So we'll throw out, so appeals, okay. So off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, let's think of ways in which we can make this so that it's public, people don't really have to go too much out of their way, and it's not really contentious. So I think we'll still have the process which the three people can veto, but how about if that's the case, we just make a point in the meeting where they, the president has to announce how many people submitted, remarks, and how many of those were vetoed. And then during that time, people could come forward and be I was vetoed, here's my statement, I think it was not appropriate that I was vetoed because of XYZ reasons. John.
So would that mean that the comments would still be private, right? Or would the comments be stated, and would it be, voting if we're going to accept those comments?
Well, the comment would just be made. I think the whole point is that we kind of just have time to think about our thoughts and kind of just put the most professional and appropriate statements out there. Just because I think sometimes we kind of just put what's off the top of our minds, not necessarily the most formulated statement. If people just think this whole process in general is not what it should be, then we should scratch it.
I think there is something to be said for having some distance between when people first make statements, and then they go through the process, and then when people say things, I was assuming nothing, wouldn't work perfectly, but I would hope that if people had issues, if there was an issue with something somebody said about a person, there would be conversation between them and the people who vetoed it about why that was a problem, and maybe that person could think more carefully about it, and either not say it or say it in a more constructive way later on. And I don't know if that we can rely on that, or if we want to have some type of appeal.
So, I know we had discussed that OR might be a part of this, and that's when we initially tabled it.
Right.
And then oversight was taken out of OR. So, and reform had transitioned to research. But I still think that, the VP of RA and the committee itself could, be the initial, the initial looker at it, and have formalized rule set in which they're no hate speech stuff that what is one of those signs. And then the appeal from there could go to the Senate.
Okay.
So it's not an appeal to the same body.
Yeah.
I think this really goes hand in hand with what Google Gavin is doing. So I think you guys can communicate on how this would work with the new executive position that he's proposing. Because I don't want to have this alone in if those two things can work together to like make this better, then I would want to see that. So.
So I do like the idea that the appeal process is through. So it's the OR now.
RA.
The
so
RA.
Research and accountability.
Okay. So then, how about after line 35, you can create rule. So rule 7 will now become 8, et cetera, et cetera. And rule 7 will be if the person who submitted a egregious claim felt that the reasons why that their claims were not chosen were inappropriate, that they can submit an appeals process through the RA committee. The RA committee then has to do a majority vote, approve that, and then it could be presented during the meeting.
And I'm wondering, time-wise, if they're not even seeing these until Wednesday night, the meeting is Thursday at 4:45.
So I think for that, there aren't a lot of internal elections, to be honest, throughout the semester. So I think the committee can work around the essay. I don't think it necessarily should have to, but that just means like possibly like having meetings Wednesday night, which is fine.
No, I think for them.
I had an idea for that. Like, on FARC, whenever they get like an emergency request, they just email it to us like the bill over.
I think along with that is if any member on the essay who also sits on the Committee of Research and Accountability is up for internal elections, a part of our rule set would that be they're forced to recuse themselves. That's not up for it.
Okay.
And just like as a point, we can't technically write that into the resolution yet because the position doesn't exist in the
government
documents.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. We can go for it.
I think that we can pass this today in its format with that as the intention and then amend it later.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I apologize for not bringing it.
No, I mean, I can do it. Like, right.
So I was going to say, I guess where I'm kind of getting a little bit caught up still is that while I do, I was kind of talking about this at Sprint, and like while I do have some faith in future future assemblies, I do worry a little bit about giving 3 or maybe potentially the VP of AR 4 people the moral high ground here. And I guess it makes me a little uncomfortable to think that I guess thought process wise I'm wondering why those 3 people, I guess. Like, it could be, I guess, why not any other member of the SA? And furthermore, regardless of who specifically it is and what their titles are, I don't know that I think that anybody really has a moral high ground within the group, at least right now, and really just, like, in general. Maybe you don't think that there even needs to be a moral high ground for this, but, like, when you are vetting speech and vetting comments, it does concern me.
Do you have like a suggestion maybe on how that could be fixed, or just in general?
Yeah, well, I guess in general, I don't really know that I'm comfortable with this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a solution. I just don't know that I feel like I want my speech to be vetted by like my peers on the assembly. And I guess there is the argument I was hearing people talk about, like, you know, in the reverse where there is something that like maybe somebody is saying that is very problematic, where they wanted to say something that was very, maybe it was sexist or whatever, then we would have wanted that to have been vetted. But yeah, I guess it just, yeah, it does concern you.
Sure.
I'm going to formally start a speaker's list
now,
because it's been pretty informal, and just want to make sure everyone gets a chance to talk if they want to talk. So
mm-hmm.
I saw Nasa.
Okay.
Is there a chance that we could have, during training, oh wait, no. Like, have training before internal elections start. Like, this is what's okay to happen, this is not what's okay to happen. Make sure that all the members know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
I agree, but I also think that no one was on the same page with that when we were discussing it the first couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I agree, but like, I think at the end of the day, people are going to have different opinions on it regardless of how much training you give them.
Mm-hmm.
Julian.
really intensive framework on debate, like give certain people power over other people's speech, which is like problematic. So I was wondering if there might be just like other like structural ways to do that, just like by disincentivizing like certain behavior. Like you say, like give people training beforehand and say like, yeah, you say something that's like really just problematic, we like assembly can vote by like some like really high standard, like forfeits or something, like censure or something. Not saying that specifically, but like along those lines, rather than just like regulate this.
Okay.
I was speaking about training because we tried to do that this year. It's really class councils was kind of the model that we were operating out of, just because of our closeness and proximity and trying to do it together. Ultimately, like class councils opted not to do training, so we weren't going to go in. And I think just timing it is difficult, especially in the spring internal election set. Like that expands those weekends to 4 weekends, and so we have to make sure that the calendar stays the same. I think it's like the ideal zone. Like I would love for an assembly to do training when, like, before they start doing internal elections. But I think, like, and I think it's a wonderful idea. It's just if that is the request, I think that's something that we can, it would have to be written into the president and executive vice president roles to organize that training for the full assembly pre-internal elections. No one else.
I need to check.
I just had a question that, like, at some point, like, an hour later, could somebody just like give a rundown of like what happened with Sprint, like mainly related to what changed about the like new VP position, just for like context?
We can have minutes, but maybe
So just a really quick rundown. There were issues that came up with not only the title itself, so Oversight Accountability Reform initially, but also what came along with that. Questions of internal versus external elections, if it should be, because if it is oversight. And also the collection of, like, it was seen as like a collection of power and almost weren't working concurrent against the student assembly. So that's why it was decided at Sprint. We talked about the name, it being possibly research and reform, it just being accountability, just research. And then we fell upon research and accountability for that reason. Yeah, and these were issues not only that had been with like the student assembly, but also issues that the administration had seen in due part because of the Sun article.
Did anything like major change about the structure of the responsibilities?
Yeah, so it is no longer. It is no longer an appointment process and a nomination process that runs through exec. The committee is now larger because performing research takes a lot of bandwidth. And those are the main two differences.
So is it like elected?
Yeah, it's internal.
Oh, internal. Oh, okay. Sorry. No one else on the speaker's list for this.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't really know that. I don't see why we couldn't. I know that it's more time, but I don't know that it's. I don't see that it's a problem to make it 4 weekends instead of three. If I think that training is important enough, that changing the calendar isn't particularly bad. If we think that this is, I mean, if we obviously think it's important enough because there's a resolution. So,
John,
definitely pardon my lack of memory, but what was the week like? What was the round time we did our weekend training?
April.
Also, I've been listening to everybody's, various members. I'm concerned about free speech. I would just definitely say that personally. I do think there should be a system where it's guided so. You have a more controlled process and people's feelings can't get hurt. We can have more of a growing moment when people send in things that they're not supposed to, well, up to the point where it gets to a point where it doesn't have to be a growing moment, it has to be addressed directly. But I definitely think no matter what happens, I would definitely like there to be at least more formal rule set sort of like sending stuff up to the chair, no matter what form it takes. So I definitely think that that piece, whatever happens, that a formal process where people aren't saying, raising their hand, just saying something quickly. Instead, they have to write something down, so there's a bit more, you know, deliberation in mind. I'm not sure how much that helps, but definitely I think there needs to be a bit more formalization of the process. Masa?
Hey, you.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think there should be, like, the reason that I'm concerned about three people deciding, like, what comments get published and what comments don't, is because the composition of, like, the personalities of these three individuals change from year to year, and, like, there's no set standard as to, like, what this what does a approved comment look like, or what does a rejected comment look like. I feel like it's all arbitrary, and like, there are definitely times where, on the assembly, in my experience, where people would like censor other people or like bring down other people just because they did not like that, like the individual. Now that these things are not anonymous anymore, that your name is tied to the actual comment, if I'm correct on that one.
Well, the standard ones, yes. If you're submitting a claim like negative against someone, it's I don't know what words.
So it's anonymous for negative.
Yes.
And the name is tied to the only positive things.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just not like very convinced that like only three people get to decide like what I can and what I can't say, because once again, in my experience, there are definitely people who serve on the assembly who will like bring down other people in like in any way possible. And I've seen those types of people before, and it's really, really toxic.
Do you have a suggestion?
Just because, I would want like concrete standards as to what constitutes an acceptable comment and what constitutes a unacceptable comment. Not because without those, it's just left up to the individuals, which is very, very arbitrary, very wishy-washy, and it puts the individuals at a risk of censorship.
Jacob. I was just wondering if this. Are we all good with the rest of the structure of the resolution? Is it just the vetting part that we're concerned about?
Shuffle.
Sure.
Who's in favor of everything except for the appeals process thing part?
How do we go through rule by rule, and if you have a problem with it, then we can like talk about it?
Yeah.
Would that be helpful? I don't. Should we start by rule?
Yeah.
Basically, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Let's do that. Okay. Rule one: raise your hand if you're like okay with it and don't want to discuss it further. Straw pulling. Rule one.
It's 1 week's notice, everyone.
It's 1 week's notice. Yeah. Okay.
It's on it.
Yes,
it's
having.
It's in bold.
It's
in bold.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually in bold. It's not a
problem. So that looks like majority. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Rule two. Raise your hand if you're like okay with moving on from rule two and you don't want to discuss it further. Cool.
So basically, that's just saying they'll have from Thursday when it's announced until Sunday.
Yes. And then it just says, like, the two questions that you would have to fill out.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Okay. Great. Thank you all. Rule three. All good. Mm-hmm. It just says, assembly members will be aware of applicants by Monday night. They'll have access to applicant questions. Cool. That looks like majority. Okay. Rule four.
I had a question.
Yes. Okay. So we'll pause here.
Okay. I know we had a discussion about positive comments and support.
Right.
And if what constituted positive and what constituted negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Do you want to keep discussing this?
Yes,
actually,
yes.
Yes. Okay, we'll just stop here then. Okay. So.
So is rule three okay? Because that's rule four.
Yeah, oh, I thought we already decided.
Oh, okay, rule three. Okay, so rule four. Okay.
So I'm seeing two problems with rule four that I've heard. One of them is with, like, the positive things, and the other one is, like, I guess only the president, vice president, parliamentarian will be able to do the submissions. Is that a problem as well?
Can I mention a suggestion, actually?
Yes, please.
So I'm now thinking, instead of, this kind of adds to what RMA and I forget who else was saying about having some, oh, it was John, talking about having some time between when you, like having some time between, like, speaking and when you're, like, thinking about the candidates and their qualities. And so I wonder if a good, like, middle ground is, it doesn't necessarily have to be positive and in support of, but you still have to write it, send it in, and it wouldn't be vetted, and you could just read all of them, if that makes sense. So there is that time, people have to think, people have to type out their answer, but it's not vetted, it's just posted somewhere. I guess, I don't know if you can do that on Google Form, but I'm sure there's some form where, like, you can just type it, which means that hopefully you were kind of thinking about it as you were typing. Or, like, as you were sitting down to type, what have you. But that can also kind of take away from this whole, like, moral high ground and, like, there's only three people that I can't type in. I don't know what people think about that.
Straw poll to condense 4 through 6 to just submit statements. The three people will still be able to see them, but they'll be released everyone Wednesday night.
Okay.
They won't be vetted, but, like, no one can see all the statements until Wednesday night. No, it would be everyone, your name would be attached.
Yeah. But you, there is no vetting process.
No vetting process.
And it doesn't matter if it's positive.
It's just a statement.
Okay.
And the candidates will.
Are these questions or approvals? These are questions.
Well,
okay.
Straw poll. Wait, no,
sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a, I guess that's another thing that I was going to ask about is because at one point I think here it said that the applicants would also see the comments, and currently in our deliberations, the applicants are not in the room. And so I guess I'm curious with this model that I just proposed, whether or not those would also be sent to the candidates themselves. Because I think somewhere in here it said that the candidates would also be reading the comments that we made or something. Am I making that up?
I don't think it's, like, explicitly said. I think it's at least, like, assumed in the Rule 5 that it'd be accessible by the entire assembly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also something maybe to think about is that are these comments going to be viewed? Because currently our comments aren't heard by the candidates themselves.
Okay.
But you can do that straw poll.
Do we have questions before we want to straw poll on Mariah's thing? We do have questions. Okay. Gavin, come last, and then RMA. You have a comment, right?
Oh, yes. My comment is I'm nervous if we have open questions that are now positive, negative, in support, or against,
mm-hmm.
and there is no vetting.
Yeah.
See, before I saw, like, oh, like, what is the point of having vetting if there's only positive comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, oh, I like how racist they are. Like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense to me, right? But now I think that, like, if it is positive and negative, I think some form of, like, vetting element needs to be there.
Do you
want to
stop?
Yeah, I mean, the positive statements weren't going to be vetted. I mean, I guess, like, if someone submits something just to be, like, a wisecrack or something, like, yeah, that would be removed. But, like, the idea is just, like, that's the point of, like, I guess, like, I would hope people understand that if they have something, like, that they need a dish, like, they could submit that with the claims and that they can bring it up with our leaders and our assembly to talk it over and explain why they believe this should be presented to the assembly, to a group of people who might not be even be aware of the incident.
Mazdan and Armin and Sarah.
I just couldn't hear from here. What was the response to Mariah's question about whether the applicants would be able to see it?
They would be able to see it.
After
the Wednesday night.
In which case, my comment is I don't think that should be the case.
Sure. Okay. Thank
yeah.
you.
My question was whether
Armin and Sarah.
I think if we want to have, like, just general comments that are going to be posted to you, there should be, like, some guidelines. Definitely there should be still something about nothing like that's a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
nothing that's outwardly like mean or malicious, and only things that are immediately relevant to the person's capacity to serve in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, maybe if these statements aren't totally vetted, but if some smaller number of people can see them as they're being submitted,
mm-hmm.
If there is a statement that is like somebody on my exact friend can see it and says, oh, this is kind of a mean thing we should have said, it's like said to the whole group, you know, hopefully they could ask the person, like, hey, maybe, like, don't say this. And then maybe we could also maybe say something about if you do say something, like, malicious or, like, negative and irrelevant, you might be, like, asked not to, like, comment on the situation.
Thanks. May I offer a suggestion? Okay, so what if on, like, the form that we have that people can, like, publish, like, submit their statements, instead of just, like, having it, like, enter any statement you want, we have, like, kind of guiding questions, not as, like, leading questions, but just, like, kind of just in general, like, if you support a candidate, what qualities do you see in that you would, that's why you support them, or, like, what related to, like, their job qualifications do you think would, like, lead you to support the candidate or not support another candidate, so that it's more, a little more formulaic, and it's a little more structured in, like, what kind of things you can say, because I think, does that make any kind of sense?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just something that's, like, on the table. We can discuss that further. Sarah, you have something to say?
Yeah, so, I guess, I kind of follow the general. Okay, never mind. So, if this is regarding internal elections, then why are we even allowing people to make comments about these candidates? Because, like, if the person's running for, like, a position that is to be decided upon by internal election, that means, like, the people in the student assembly will already have a chance to, like, get to know the character of this person.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
if other people are just, like, able to speak on behalf of them, then, like, why should, you know, the chance that your friend is going to be, like, a really good speaker, a really good writer, influence the outcome of an election when, like, that doesn't really have anything that directly has to do with your qualifications for a position. So, like, I guess what I'm proposing is, like, what if we just have people, like, give their 3-minute candidacy speech, and then, like, the assembly can, like, think of questions, like, think of concerns that they have, and then, like, next week, then they can have, like, a question and answer slash, like, debate or things where, like, everybody can just kind of, like, talk about this in, like, in a really controlled way,
mm-hmm.
and then have everybody, all the candidates close with, like, a 3-minute closing speech. Because mm-hmm. I think that we have here may introduce a lot of, like, you know, assembly politics that the reason why we're doing this is because we want to avoid that. But I think instead of this bill allowing us to avoid that, it's just, like, systemizing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a really good point. Something that past assemblies have brought up. Like, I think in my time, I've also talked about why we even do deliberations. Gavin, do you have a comment?
I think problems and drama and, like, conflicts arise when something's said about somebody and they don't have the chance to, and, like, I guess kind of, like, removing the person from the situation, then it's not like sharing valid concerns. It's just, like, we're just, like, legitimizing gossip,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, like,
mm-hmm.
and I think, like, if everybody's kind of, like, in the situation, if you just, like, if you have a question for somebody, if you have a question about, like, their, if you have something, like, a really valid point that you can bring up, you just say it to their face, so they can give you an answer to your face, and then, like, people can realize, like, you know, if this person is lying, or if it's, like, not a good answer, I think, like, the other people in the assembly would be, like, have the, you know, sort of discernment to know, and still, like, make their really decision based off of the candidate, and not, like, what other people do.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, I see where you're coming from, but also, what if someone is a really good, like, speechwriter, and, like, goes up, does an amazing speech that does not align with what, like, their work ethics are, and, like, gets the position accordingly, and, like, no one actually weighed in on what the other candidate, like, could bring to that position.
Well, I think then that would be up to us, like, to ask good questions, you know? Because, like, I think that's the point of the question sessions, because we're trying to get to know, like, who's going to be the best fit for this position. So if somebody does give this like beautiful speech that's basically just equivalent of like God bless America, liberty, buzzwords. And like people can like ask, people can like call him out of that. And people can ask like, okay, but like what are your qualifications? Like what have you done that could like benefit this position? And like I think that no amount of like good speaking, no amount of polish is going to make up for a lack of content, a lack of qualifications. And like if we're asking good questions and if we're thoughtful about those questions, then like then I think that will become very apparent, especially because we're doing this question session after we've had like a week to think about their initial statements. So like we're not, because like I think your point becomes valid if it's just like you're given like a split second to decide on like what this person's saying. But like if this person, if everybody makes their pitch, we all go home like think about it for a week, like have time to like take time to like think really good questions, ask those questions, and then at the end everybody can agree on what they're saying. I think that's like so embarrassed.
That's really good points. Okay. We're going to do... Do you have a speaker list?
No.
Okay, let's do just go down the row. Gavin, do you have a... Gavin, Masa, Uche, John, and Army.
I really like the idea, and I think another part to look at this is internals in spring, so the election of the VPs becomes, I think, difficult in this sense because newly elected members not only don't know what qualifications it takes other than what's outlined in the bylaws and in the charter, but also don't know the dynamics already set in of the assembly. Because I think, like, the assumption onto that part is saying, like, oh, this individual already knows, like, what's going on. But I think a good portion of people, for at least internals of EP, I think that's going to be something.
But also, I'm trying to avoid the like, dynamics of the assembly, because I think, like, I think that any person who's on the assembly has the capacity to like put in the work and like develop leadership skills and like serve in a good way. And like if somebody's a new member, they have no idea how the assembly's going, and people are just like, you know, writing statements about another person and blah blah blah. Like that's still not going to help them get to know the system better or any less than if they're just like there to observe and like make decisions for themselves. And I think that like by systemizing kind of like comments about people and just like giving people time to like write things about other candidates, that's actually going to be even worse for these new members because then you're like taking away their ability to make their assessments about another person for themselves, because like everybody else is already doing that for them, and like they're missing a lot of dimensions that get lost in just a piece of paper. Okay.
Masa?
Yeah, like during internal elections, I think with what you're proposing, that would mean you having an extra week, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Me too. Maybe in that time we could do training.
Yeah. Like, maybe in that time we could do training, and training could be beneficial for not just for internal elections, for like our irregular meetings and what is appropriate to be said in meetings, how you can, like, if you want to critique something, what is appropriate to critique that, but like that's on another side. But
just going to like kind of ask, like, you currently, what you're proposing, like, if you know that like you've had experience with someone who's like maybe starting to communicate with you, or you know, you work together in some other capacity, like on the essay, and like you know that like, maybe they don't show up to the meetings, they don't give constructive feedback when they are in meetings or committees, things like that. These are like valid things that like objectively like anybody could kind of see. Like, how would you, like, how does one go about like voicing like that and bringing that to life?
Sorry, it kind of sounds like an answer to your own question there, so I'm not sure if I'm interpreting it correctly. So basically what I heard is, like, tell me that, I'm not trying to, like, debate, I'm just, like, genuinely trying to understand what you're saying. So it sounds like what you're saying is that if somebody is, like, genuinely kind of not, doesn't have, like, the skills or, like, the character traits to be successful, then, like, everybody would be aware of that.
No, I mean, like, let's say, like, you're on the committee with this person that, you know, most people in the assembly are not, like, let's say you're sitting on, I don't know, dining committee, and, like, people, not everybody on the assembly is on dining committee, but, like, you have worked with this person and, like, agreed what you've seen, and you find, like, maybe he's, you know, like, of this person, they don't do their responsibilities.
I think those concerns could easily be, like, voiced during the debate period and, like, during the question period. Because I think it's also important to realize that like everybody has a different perception of a person. person. And, like, your idea of who a person is highly influenced by, like, you know, like, the situation. Like, maybe the one day that you chose to, like, observe a person was, like, their worst day, and they were just, like, this, and then, like, that was, like, what formed your opinion about somebody, and then that stuck with you. But I think, like, if somebody has, like, a track record of being ineffective, then, like, those concerns can be, like, voiced or debate, and they can, like, kind of give context as to what is happening. Because also, like, a lot of like, people's efforts can kind of go unnoticed. You know, like, a lot of people's, like, character, motivations, like, qualifications, like, not everybody always wears that on their sleeve. And I think by just, like, allowing what other people assume about a certain person to dictate, like, how everybody should see this person is kind of there.
If I can butt in here, maybe that can come in the form of a question, like, oh, like, if what committees do you belong to, and, like, what work have you done on this committee? So, like, kind of, if you want to ask them about their track record or, like, attendance or something, then that can come from the question. I'm going to follow the speaker's list. Masa remembered her question, and it's going to be John, Arame, and then Ian, and then Mariah.
So, usually with internal elections, we ask all the candidates the same question for the sake of fairness. So, how do you see you working around that? And that just, like, if we're asking the, like, specific questions as specific as that, I'm like, I think a lot of questions will be generated, and I don't know if we have that time.
I think it can be solved by having maybe, like, general cat, like, umbrella of the questions, you know? So, like, there's, like, character and fit, like, character and fitness, like, past qualifications and experience. So that, like, you could have, like, the basic structure of a question, but just fill it in with, like, things that are pertinent to that candidate. So, for example, so, like, everybody gets asked, like, so if everybody's, like, been on a prior committee, then, like, the template question would be, like, how, like, what did you accomplish on X committee? What did you learn from that? And how those skills translate to the position that you're running for? Because then, like, that way, like, you can't really get around that question. Like, if you did nothing on the committee, you can't really, like, twist that to make it seem like
you can say, oh, the committee did this, this, and this, and you can just claim those. Like, people have easily done that.
So maybe we could just say, like, what did you learn, like, by being on this committee? Because also, here's the thing, is that, like, some people, on student assembly, people are actively growing, you know? Like, every committee, like, even if they're not contributing something directly, like, if they come away from every meeting having gained something, they can apply in the future, that'd be good. And, like, I think maybe instead of focusing on, like, what have you done directly, you can focus on, like, what have you learned?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
I think that this just starts to get really wishy-washy. I want to know if you, like, are not committed. I want to know if you are wishy-washy. I want to know if you don't show up to meetings, and I don't understand why, like, those things can't be outed. Like, I understand, like, oh, we can ask, what did you learn? Like, what is your track record? And it's like, if you don't show up to meetings, like, nobody's going to come out there and say that. And it's like, in deliberation, those are the things that we find out. And quite frankly, I learn about other members on the assembly when I start hearing them say problematic things. And it's like, I'm taking notes.
So I'm going to return to the speaker's list.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick to the speaker's list. It's going to be John, RMA, Ian, Mariah, not the speaker's list anymore, Celine, and then Lucia again. So, John.
So I want to narrow the scope of this a little bit. I think everyone's been really making some great points,
mm-hmm.
that I'm really impressed personally. I do think that I have stated this before, but I do think this needs to be stated again. I definitely, from going through the plethora of elections in spring, all the way up to the trial run where we tried the first version of the system that's laid out in the resolution, I saw a significant difference. There's definitely been times where in those internal elections where the rules have been tried to be changed, the rules haven't really been followed really strictly. And I think the way we did it during that trial run really, for me, gave me a bit of a peace of mind surrounding a lot of these questions that we're pondering. And it really made me feel like it was a definite improvement. Now, I don't think that this resolution, no matter how we, whatever we act on, is going to fix and make perfect special elections. I think that's just impossible. I do think, though, we should start with what we had originally, sort of
given some of the amendments we added during Sprint and beginning of today, I think we should sort of stick with the original format of it and actively think in the long term, should we revisit this? Has this been working? Sort of in our own, we can either lay out a probational period within the resolution to like the end of spring semester if we want to like confirm this system is going to be it, or just in our heads sort of be like, I want this to change, so we'll have a new resolution that amends it. I definitely think the system that was originally put in place during the trial run is something that I would like to see over the long term, see how that would work, and I'm definitely open to changing that if that doesn't work in the long term.
Thanks, John. Arnie?
Yeah, I was thinking, so you brought up good points about, like, should we have other people comment at all? I think if we are going to have people make comments, it shouldn't just be like everybody shares, you know, whatever they have, whatever opinion they have on whoever's up for internal election. I think it should just, if there are any, we should think about it, I think if there are any comments at all, we should have them be, you have a, you know, really good reason that you have a, you know, constructive, positive, or, you know, positive point about some person, and within the framework of kind of like you mentioned about having specific questions, like you, because for whatever reason you know this person, whether on social media or whatever, have, you know, very important feedback. But I think if we're going to have any comments at all, I think we should think about encouraging only like very constructive ones from people who have like close experience with the position or the person in question.
Thank you, Armin. Ian?
Yeah, so I really think that there is something to sort of suggestion. I think that there's a lot of potential there and could really work. With the point Gavin made earlier, I think it might be worth later down the line having an explicit exception or like maybe slightly different set of rules to the internal elections in the spring, because those are just a kind of different format altogether than regular internal elections after a meeting. And to Ryan Uche's point with, like in this format, not being able to really ask about maybe like committee attendance, there is attendance of committees available that could be made available to the SA beforehand, and it's like, okay, this candidate sits on CELO, and this is the CELO attendance form.
And we can check the attendance like on your own time.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome, thank you. Selena, Ms. Sarah, and Uche.
Yeah, so I do see various things that are reasonable to better, to kind of give a definition of what kind of statement should be given off. And but I appreciate what you mentioned, like Emily mentioned before, which is we should kind of thinking what kind of comments are necessary or helpful or what kind of are not. But I mean, it's very hard to define, like, is that comments is like necessary or is helpful enough. But I feel like one point we can make is to limit the length of the statement, because if we set a word limit, it can just minimize the possibility that someone is really good at writing or is really good at like just writing some really very like explicit words to support candidates. So I feel like if we kind of have a limit on the words of the statement, that may kind of minimize the problems Sarah mentioned before. So that's kind of a suggestion.
Thank you. Sarah, okay?
I guess like to mitigate Mariah's concern is if we are, but also bouncing off of the idea that we'll have like training in between, I think kind of the underlying perspective issue is that like not everybody feels comfortable saying things to somebody's face that they would feel comfortable saying behind their back. So I think like during this training, if we can just kind of get everybody on the same page and how like during this election time, like confronting somebody about their attendance record, confronting somebody about like, you know, things that may make them unfit for this qualification. These are not like ad hominem attacks. These are not like things that, you know, can preclude you from being friends with this person. They're just like legitimate things that need to come up so that everybody can go into this knowing that like whatever's said in this conversation has nothing to do, it's not personal. It's just like for the sake of this so that, like, all those concerns, like, all statements, positive, negative, all statements can come out in a fair and, like, organic way and then can be resolved in a fair and organic way. Because I think, like, the fact that we're trying to, like, put some of the limitations on it, like, if there's going to be some weird circumstance that will happen that we're not accounting for now. And I think, like, that's why I think we mitigate a lot of concerns that have come up is just, like, include something in the training about, like, kind of, like, transparency, sensitivity, and, like, kind of just, like, almost, like, team building, you know, kind of just, like, making sure that everybody feels that, like, we're all, like, on a team. We're all just, like, trying to find somebody who can, like, be the best person for this, which is for the sake of the team, and we're not trying to, like, bring people down or, like, lift other people up.
Thank you. Richard?
Yeah. Like, you brought up, like, you know, things such as, like, committee attendance, like, objective things, but I'm also thinking of, like, okay, like, if I know I'm working with someone who's on a committee, and, like, for example, like, I'll talk about, like, SAIC, but say I have some people, like, we're doing, like, projects with, like, creating new infrastructure on campus. I assign, like, a project to someone, and I know for a fact that, like...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.